Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening out there. All right. Excuse us for that. Hello and good evening out there. How are you doing? This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Always happy to be back in the studio talking with you all about some things to make your mind get provoked, to challenge you, to take you out of your comfort zone of what you believe that you know in regards to God. So I just, you know me, just hop right in. No time for shucking and jiving. I want to give you the backdrop for behind why today's show came into play. And this is one time where I do believe that I'm going to have to do anywhere from 2 to 3 shows to really bundle this whole thing up. The last time I did that was when I did a message on marriage. But anyway, so this young man that I know tagged me in a post questioning about Lucifer and where is it in the Bible that he fell out from heaven and all of this stuff. And so because of some things that he read, he's all of a sudden has a heightened sensitivity about music, and he takes it, quote unquote, very serious because he has a tendency to be in the music ministries at church. And that whole thing just got me thinking about my journey and where I've been on this walk ever since I've decided to get saved and, quote unquote, walk in holiness. So it just got me to thinking. And some of the things I thought about were, you know, how I changed the music I listened to, the TV shows I used to watch back in the day when I studied with the Nubian Nation of Islam. I changed the food. You know, I had other Christians talking to me. I changed my clothes. I changed so many things. But there's so many other Christians who don't feel that way or either feel the way that I feel even more so in a more extreme fashion. And so the question is, who's to judge? You know, my question to you is the same question to myself is, who made you the judge? That's the thing that really, really I want to stick out, you know, with today. So whether it's music or TV, food or clothes, you know, a lot of us out here have these preconceived notions about what it looks like to be a real Christian, what looks like to be a real Christian, and what are some things that we should and we should not do. So my question is, when we get through with this list, are we really being honorable to religion or to spirituality? Because at the end of the day, you got to be true to yourself. If you're true to religion, you're going to fall every single time. So the scripture I want us to go to is actually in, let me look at my notes. I'm trying to make as few mistakes as possible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is our foundational scripture, as the pastors say when they get ready to preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 5, and we're going to read verse 5a, just the first half of it. Not that the second half isn't that relevant, but the key is in the first half. 13:5a in 2 Corinthians says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves?" I read the whole scripture anyway. "How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Let me go back. Key part of the scripture is, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So let me just get a few I'm about to really go there. How many of y'all heard people that say fruit? Let me get a few things out here really quick. I'm not saying that we can't judge. You know, we all know that the scriptures say, "Judge not unless ye be judged according to the same measure," et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of debate in the church and how the Bible was written for reproof, and we're supposed to correct our brother for their sins, and if we love them, we'll let them know when they're wrong, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. I get that. Listen, people, remember, if I wanted to, I can do a whole, which I have done, a whole teaching on when it's good to judge, when you should judge, and how you should do it. We're not talking about that today. See, if you want to have balance and you really want to get this thing as a Christian, you got to eat off the whole plate. You can't just be one-sided with the way that you eat so that you understand how to embrace people. You know how to talk to them. So right now what we're talking about for real, is not judging. And let me just also put this out there. There is a big difference between seeing somebody out there professing Jesus Christ and then deliberately hurting someone or something about the church versus personal preferences that people may make that may or may not hurt someone's opinion or views. So when we're talking about judging, we really are going to be talking about just the straight up hardcore street looking people up and down and funny in a church type judging. So just a little bit of my own testimony, okay? One of the things that came to me way back in the day, I'm talking about like maybe 2004-ish, like something like that, was this minister by the name of G. Craig Lewis, and he had the Truth Behind Hip Hop series. And man, I saw that series, and man, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I've been listening to all this devil worshiping music all my life, and you know, it's just it's spiritually corrupt. And you know, I threw away all my CDs, I threw away all my movies, I threw away all my books, and I felt I'm clean, I'm purged. Yeah, and it didn't take very long after sharing the message and getting other people to feel guilty before I was going back to the store and I was buying these CDs all over again. Then I got convicted again and I threw the CDs away again and I bought them again. Same thing with the movies, the books, whatever. And I just went back and forth on this roller coaster ride. And so here it is now. I honestly don't like to listen to everything that I used to listen to back in the day. But there are still some things, they classics, they're cuts. And to be honest with you, you know, I wouldn't like go home and be like every day, let me cut on the radio and let me play, you know, this song or that song and, you know, let me jam to some old Tupac or something like that. But if I hear it, it's going to get me nostalgic. It's going to bring back memories. Well, if you would have talked to me several years ago, maybe even 2 years ago, I might have been more so on a level like, yeah, you know, I don't want nothing to do with that. I ain't going to listen to that. You know, it ain't holy. You know, I like to keep what I'm putting in my body pure, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but once again, see, older people are wise because they've been through something and they've seen how they've done the nevers that they said that they would never do. They've seen some experiences. They've gotten caught up in some places that they never thought they'd be before, so that they understand that there's just certain things that maybe they shouldn't label or stigmatize so well. So here it is now. No, I'm not finna go out and buy a Lil Wayne or Lady Gaga or anybody of those CDs. And honestly, at the end of the day, I don't care if I wasn't a hardcore Christian or not. I just think that the music that they make nowadays is whack. And that's just keeping it 100, that the majority of it is garbage. I feel like the old school cuts are better anyway. But still, I don't look down on people. And I didn't even 2 years or so ago, didn't look down on people because they didn't change their music selection. However, when I first got introduced to this guy named G. Craig, I was looking at people like, wow, do you realize that you're listening to the music of Satan? Do you realize that these people are in the Illuminati? You know, they sold to the devil in order to become this or to become that. And one of the things that ended up kind of making me challenge my beliefs was when I seen this particular pastor make some negative comments about gospel rapper Lecrae. Now, I'm like, wait a minute. You just said hip-hop is bad. I'm listening to gospel rap, and not just because it's gospel rap, y'all, because it's hard. I don't like all rap because it's gospel, okay, because there's some out there that they some lames too. I'm just keeping it on it. But I'm like, dang, why is he dogging Lecrae? He dogging Lecrae, the 116 click. I mean, these brothers are straight up literally spitting the gossip. They giving more Bible scriptures and stuff in they song lyrics than some pastors do in the pulpit. And I'm like, man, this dude is extremely judgmental. You know, so I finally began to fall back. And I didn't judge nobody for what they listened to, but I still filtered what I listen to, and especially since I had young ladies and little girls, I don't want them listening to music that's going to make them running around like little whores, you know, so I'll be proper, you know. So I did, you know, change some things. But I noticed that with G. Craig, it was so, it's them and it's us. It's the world and it's the saints. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick of that mentality because Jesus was nothing like that. You know, Zacchaeus was considered to be the ultimate of sinners, but he saw Zacchaeus and was like, hey, I'm coming over to your house to eat. And he just chilled with Zacchaeus. He didn't judge him. He didn't call him out. He didn't say, oh, there go that sinner right there. You know, Jesus even said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were like, why are you always around sinners? He said, I didn't come for the well. You know, it's the ones that are on hold. It's the ones that are sick that need a physician. So, you know, just kind of cutting to the chase before I get into these scriptures. For those of you, if you out here, you walking around, you super saved, you got it together, you wear the right clothes, you eat the right food, you listen to the right music, you don't entertain the wrong things on TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then, hey, if that's you, please, 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 pump your brakes so that you don't put what you've chosen for your life on somebody else and try to make it become their life. Because these are some of the things that I've realized. You can't police yourself to holiness. Now, there's a big difference. Like, for instance, if you go to AAA meetings and they say, you know, if you're an alcoholic and you have a problem and you're trying to get free from alcoholism, that maybe you really shouldn't go to this party, you shouldn't go to bars, you shouldn't go to certain places because you're dealing with being healed from something. But to honestly know whether or not you truly are free from alcoholism is whether or not you could be around people that's drinking and you don't drink. You know, bottom line is I used to smoke weed and I smoked it whether people were smoking with me or not because I wanted to. And when I stopped being around people that smoked and I knew they was high or feeling a certain kind of way, did not make me want to smoke again. There was a time when I was younger, yes, I put myself on blast. I had lived a whorish lifestyle. I did what I wanted to do. I'm married and I'm in love, and there's nothing, even on the bad days, that makes me want another man. It's not because I read some scriptures because somebody reminded me about fornication and adultery and all of those things. I changed before I even met him. I was a wife before he even came into the picture. So I'm saying the same thing in reference to the people about these smaller issues. Hey, if you've changed and there's something that's just changed in you, that's fine. But, I mean, I want y'all to really examine yourselves. Is the reason why you're not listening to a certain artist anymore or watching a certain television show, was it really because somebody else told you? Or did you wake up one day and you were just like, man, this is some stupid sounding garbage? Because there's a big difference in that change. One of them is deeply rooted in the heart, and the other one is deeply rooted in tradition. Because, see, we all not going to change on the same wavelengths. We not all going to do the same things the same way at the same time. And the Bible does not expect us to do these kind of things. I know some of you that if you like my Bible scholars and you really you good stewards over your word, you're probably thinking about the scriptures that talk about don't become a stumbling block for your brother and don't do anything that would offend your brother and, you know, things like that. So if that's what you're thinking about, well, then let's look at what the word has to say in reference to this topic. So I'm going to give you quite a few scriptures. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 8. Okay, so everybody, 1 Corinthians, chapter 8. Now, if you start at verse 1, we're going to start right there at 1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Let me stop with that scripture right there. See, this is what I'm talking about right here. See, some of us know a lot. And because we know a lot, we don't realize that there's a lot of vanity in knowledge. You're not only just supposed to get knowledge, with all your knowledge, you're supposed to get an understanding. So when you know something and you come to a revelation, if all you have is your knowledge, you also going to have an arrogance about yourself. See, I know this and I know that. And because I know this, I don't eat this food. And because I know this, I don't wear these clothes. And because I know this, I don't listen to this music. And I. And see, what you're doing is you glorifying yourself instead of glorifying the Father. But it says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So with the knowledge that you have, it's supposed to be coupled with love. And that will make the difference on how you approach someone when they're doing these things that aren't necessarily defined in the Bible as hardcore sins. So keep going. So if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom all things and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, see, if you take verse 9 by itself, what you're going to say is, oh, my God, I can't listen to this music. I can't watch this television show. I can't eat these food. I can't wear these clothes because I don't want to become a stumbling block to somebody. Digest everything that was just said. First of all, let's get an understanding. This scripture just said we know idols ain't nothing. Now, it's talking about a particular type of Christian, because to some Christians, idols are like, oh, my God, it's like the freaking devil. They're saying, hey, if you know somebody that offered up some meat to an idol God, the power in that meat is nothing, because our word says that Jesus Christ rose with all power. Keyword, all power in his hands. So if I'm sitting next to somebody and they done made some steak and they done offered it to an idol God, okay, I guess you think you're doing something, but you ain't doing nothing, because that's a regular old steak, and that's why I bless my food, and it's all good. If I forget to bless my food, it don't make no difference, because the scriptures say that I'm in God and he's in me, so I'm straight. So I think that that's something that we really need to bring clarity to, the fact that there is no power in a lot of things that we give too much emphasis to. I'm telling you all, these are some revelations that I've had to literally come to realize within the last year to a deeper understanding. So let me take that, what I just read to you, just a little bit further. Quit saying everything is a spirit, people. How many of y'all know them Christians where it's like, see, that's why you can't go to everybody's house and you can't entertain everything, because, see, them spirits, they be hopping off and they be jumping from this person to that person and you be getting this, that, and the other. I mean, I've heard people that have talked like that. Oh, yeah, well, you know, if you entertain this, you entertaining that spirit, and you know if you got free from that spirit, the Bible say it's going to come back with seven more spirits. So then now you're dealing with, and if you lose them seven spirits, they going to come back with seven more. So now you got 49. That's the kind of stuff I say, because, you know, I'm a numbers person. And it's like, wait a minute, hold up. That's a scapegoat, people. That's a true scapegoat when everything is because of a spirit. Because if you go in the First John, it says that light and darkness can't dwell in the same. And I'm going to need my real Christians to be able to stand up. And if you say, and the love of God is in you, light is in you. So it don't make no difference how much the devil want to jump off on you. The devil can't have you. The spirits can't latch on. They can't be in the midst thereof, because the holy presence of the one true living God is in you. So let's get rid of this paranoia. I mean, and I'm not going to get too hard in the music tonight. I'm telling you, this is going to have to take maybe 2 to 3 shows to do, but please just understand, this whole spirit mentality has to go, people will tell you, oh, well, Ouija boards are real and, you know, voodoo and all of that stuff is real. Well, if it's so real, then why am I still alive? Because I know back in the day I didn't have some friends and some people that didn't entertain some stuff, that believe in that stuff, and it said some things about me, whether they did or didn't have a dog with a needle in it. I'm telling you, I was friends with all kinds of people, and I pissed all kinds of people off. So why am I still standing? Because God had a better plan, because he has more power and authority, and even when I wasn't acting all the way right, I was still his. And I'm going to read a scripture in a minute that attests to what I'm saying. But anyway, back to this whole little stumbling block thing. You know, I'm hoping you all are following me and you, and I'm still connecting the dots. So the whole thing is get the thing out of your mind where you overemphasize in spirit and idle things, because idle things have no power. Now, the scripture does say that there are some people who have a conscience, and they see the contrary. But you know what the word also says? The word says that their conscience being weak is defiled. Yeah, well, I thought, wait a minute, let me check August, okay? So that means that there was a season in my life when I thought that I was really holy because I was policing a lot of things in my life. And no, my mind was weak. I was trying to be holy, and I was trying to police so much, and I actually didn't have the kind of strength that I thought that I had. Just think about that. You read in verse 8, you keep going, it says, because at the end of the day, if you eat, you're not better, and if you don't eat, you're not worse. And it could have went vice versa and said it the other way. It does say, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. Connect the dots back to verse 1, because knowledge puffeth up, okay? So you can't let your liberty and your freedoms that you have treat your fellow brother and sister in Christ in a different way, whether it's shaming them, overjudging them, you know, putting a spotlight on them too far for what they doing, and that's how you end up making somebody, causing a stumbling block. I mean, think about it. For those of us who done been to them kind of churches where everybody holy and they got it going on, when you have the light flashed on you to show that you ain't that holy, what's the first thing you do? You stumble, and you stumble right on out the door, and you don't go back to church. You don't want to be in the very place that eventually will cultivate something in your heart for whatever it was that you were dealing with to fall off. That's the thing that's a stumbling block. So don't be sitting here saying to yourself, okay, like for instance, I use myself for an example. People know I'm saved. They know I'm a Christian. If I'm riding down the street, and instead of listening to Lecrae or LaTriple or something like that, you hear me playing something else, then somebody else will say, see, you shouldn't be listening to that music in your car. Because you know if you play that, you're going to be a stumbling block for your other brother because they are already battling getting music and changing their lifestyle. Well, first of all, let me say this. People say that comment very much in general, okay? I can't be a stumbling block for somebody that does not know me. For somebody that does not share the same level of life experience, convictions, relationship. For somebody who, even if they don't share the same type of convictions, we have a relationship. Because at the end of the day, I ain't even trying to be funny. If that's the case, I mean, for real, let's make it as broad as it's supposed to be. You're going to become a stumbling block for everybody that's a Christian. You walking down the street, the bum on the corner, he's a Christian. You've been a stumbling block. The brother in the mega church that you go to that you've never even seen, because you usually go to the 7 o'clock service and he goes to the 11 o'clock service, you all happen to pass each other and somebody said you were a Christian and he saw you doing something, whoop-de-doo, now you a stumbling block. Come on now, people. No. I hope you all are feeling me. I hope you're seeing the grave exaggeration that's being, okay? You know, at the end of the day, you know, the old folks will tell you, you know, you got to learn to deal with your own demons, okay? You got to learn to deal with your own issues. And a lot of these issues that we have, guess what? They are issues that we have created for ourselves. If you go and read Romans 14, you're going to see that it's a whole nother scenario about whether or not you are or are not a stumbling block for your brother. And if you read Romans 14 and 14, the verse says that I know, And I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Did you catch that? So Paul, once again, he's saying, we know that there's no authority. We know that there's no power in anything idle. There's nothing unclean. You know, there's nothing else with any power, he said, but in your mind, if you give it that much weight, if you give it that much power, then you've made that thing unclean, and then you've made that thing to be a sin for you. So if I looked at music, clothes, food, TV to be a specific type of way, then I've created that reality for myself where brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such over there has not. I give you another example. Now, I used to go to this one church. Now, let me just give you the backdrop. I don't do cable, okay? Me and my husband, we think it's stupid. You know, I'm sorry if I'm not trying to offend anybody. Oops, stumbling block. Ooh. We don't think paying for cable is wise, at least not in our household, because we don't watch enough TV. And when we do watch TV, you know, it's like in spurts, and we want to see what we want to see when we want to see it. So where everybody else paying $100 or more for a cable, we pay $16 for Hulu and Netflix, and we do a lot of live streaming on the internet. So we don't know, like, the latest news about certain things because we aren't watching TV. So I was going to this one church, and I remember one time this pastor, he was preaching, and he was like, yeah, you know, you do need to monitor what you watch and what you listen to, et cetera, but he was giving a pretty, I would say he was giving a pretty fair message. He was saying, based on you and your life, he said, now, if you're prone to infidelity, you probably shouldn't be watching Scandal. And I was like, what's Scandal? So immediately in my subconscious, I'm like, what's Scandal? But I still ain't never trip off of it. But periodically, from time to time, in his messages, he would always make some kind of funny or smart comment in reference to Scandal. So once again, I'm not a TV person, so I'm not thinking I got to go home and watch Scandal. But this man is implanting something in my subconscious. So one day I'm perusing Netflix trying to figure out what I want to see, and the season of Scandal is on. I'm like, what is Scandal? Because my pastor keep on bringing it up. Bam, I ain't going to even lie to y'all. To this day, I still watch Scandal. But here's the middle part. Before we left the church that we were at, one Sunday, the pastor, same pastor, is preaching about how he want to get closer to God and he want to know God more and he want God to use him more and so on and so forth. So he was saying how in order to hear God and to get closer to God, that he had to change some things in his lifestyle, and that meant he needed to cut off Scandal. He needed to stop watching it. Y'all, and for 2 seconds, he had me. You know, he had me and my daughter. We was like, oh, man, you know, Scandal is kind of off the hook because it's in idolatry, adultery, homosexuality. Maybe we should stop watching it, too. And you know what? It didn't make a difference because our hearts still wanted to see Scandal. And we're back watching Scandal. Now we watching Scandal and Empire. I mean, whoa, it is. Hey, I'm just saying. I'm being very transparent with you people. So it's amazing now, and he may then, you know, and some people may then trip off of it, but I mean, really think about this. He equated his growth in spirituality to what he was and he was not watching on TV. But as a shepherd, you put that off on the entire congregation. I didn't even know what it was. So, I mean, are you really holier? Are you really, and I'm not saying that he said this way, people, but I'm just wanting you all to get my point. Are you holier or more in touch with God, for instance, than I am because you stop watching it and I still watch it? Because if we want to start throwing darts, I wouldn't even be watching it if it wasn't for you in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, I need Christians, I need us to be more free in what we do and how we do so that we don't end up hurting each other, okay? Hurting people in the kingdom. Matter of fact, if you read also in the same chapter in Romans chapter 14, in verse 20, it says, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eat it with offense. Once again, if you made it a sin, it's a sin for you. But it says that meat destroy not the work of God. And meat is a good example to use because you got to remember that there was a time when God had declared a diet for man. he said, you know, don't eat of the cloven hoof and all of these different things. And for those of you that are familiar in the book of Acts, at one point, God gave Peter a vision. And he laid out on a blanket a whole bunch of meat. And in the vision, he was telling Peter, eat it. And Peter was like, I ain't going to touch that unclean thing, knowing the Jewish traditions. And God told him, excuse me, don't call anything that I've made unclean. And what it is that whole clean, unclean thing had to do with more than clean food versus dirty food. It had to do with clean Christians versus dirty Christians, Gentiles versus Jews, who was holy, who wasn't holy. And God was saying, I made all the people, and I don't want you to judge them, because everybody has equal opportunity to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that's what I'm trying to get you all to see right now. I have this one cousin, for instance, connect the dots with this scripture. Man, me and my cousin, we grew up together, and he really is more of a brother to me. We both saved, but we swag different as far as, I mean, at the end of the day, hey, he's still bump all his old school hardcore rap music all the time, 24/7. Now, me and him had a little hiatus in our life where we were separated, but now we both here. I'm in Texas where he is now. And I told him, I said, you know what, cuz, I thank God that you and I were separated during that season of my life where I was transitioning in my walk. Because back in the day, I would have been too holy to be around you, and I possibly could have destroyed our relationship. I go over to his house, he have get-togethers, he have whatever he got playing in the background. And yeah, sometimes I bob my head and, you know, reminisce on a verse, maybe even spit one with him, you know, try to bleep out the curse words. Yes, I said try, every once in a while they slip. I'm just trying to be a real Christian. I love Jesus. Y'all challenge my walk if y'all want to. That's your time, you got to waste. But anyway, like I'm saying, but I wouldn't have been able to be around him because I would have been too doggone holy. Another church I went to, they had a marriage retreat. You know, if I would have been listening to what G. Craig said, I wouldn't have went to the marriage retreat, because, you know, after they did all of their speeches and their dinner and all of this stuff, they had salsa dancing afterwards for the couples. They played a lot of love songs. One man even serenaded his wife. It was a beautiful thing. It was for married folk. But if I would have been too holy, I would have been like, oh, my God, that was written by this artist. And, you know, like G. Craig said, they were high when they made this, so they were under the influence of the devil. And that music didn't make me want no other man. It didn't make me want to do nothing other than once it was over with, we had a beautiful hotel suite. Come on, baby, let's go with this drink and everything else we got and go have a good time. That's all it did. It didn't jump off on me and end up making me want to do anything else. People, the Word of God says that we're supposed to let the mind that's in Christ Jesus be in us, that we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If your mind has not been renewed, if your mind has not been changed, I don't care what you do, it's in vain. So if you like watching horror, watch horror. If you still, look, I'm putting it out there. People will say, August, don't talk like this because you're encouraging people to sin. I ain't encouraging nobody to do nothing but to be real. If you still like pornos, you might as well still watch pornos, because if you didn't watch enough of them, cutting them off and saying that you holy because you don't watch them ain't going to change nothing, because you still see them same scenes and them same clips running through your head. When you delivered, you delivered. When you don't want to dress a certain way anymore, you don't want to dress a certain way anymore, and that's fine. And I ain't even trying to be funny. I haven't used a lot of examples with clothes. At the end of the day, hey, ladies, I ain't trying to be funny. What man wants a woman that never wants to be attractive? I'm not saying that you got to go out with all your tatas hanging out your shirt and, you know, that your G-string showing, you know, at the back of your pants and stuff like that. But there are several clothes that I know that there are plenty of Christian women that would say, nah, you shouldn't wear that because it's too revealing. I've had to deal with stuff like that all my life because I naturally have an hourglass shape. Even at overweight state, I still have a smaller waist in capacity to my booty. I remember being young with some MC Hammer pants on and a man riding down the street stuck his head out the car. You can't hide all of that. Hey, you know what? And even in them baggy pants, baby. So you know what? I ain't even trying to be funny, especially for us women out there that's judging other women. You don't even understand what it takes to contain the package that woman is dealing with. You think that she always trying to show cleavage? I'm putting it out there because I've been one to judge some of these women. There's a difference between a modest amount. Yeah, people would say, how can a little cleavage be modest? There's a difference between having a modest amount of cleavage versus just having it all hanging out. But, like, you don't understand. If you ain't the one, a woman don't always want to wear a T-shirt to make sure it's covering over her chest. You know, she mad at it. No matter how big she get the shirt, her tata is so big it almost want to bust open the third button. You know, it's hard to kind of keep those things tight. You know, you worried about what kind of bra she got on. Why don't you go on there and donate her $80 so she can go to the expensive bra shop to buy the bra that can contain them things. You don't know what she's dealing with. So the bottom line is I'm putting all of this out here because I'm going to end up addressing, especially this is really setting us up for the music. I'm going to specifically get in there and make sure that I address the music. But as much as I'm kind of putting a little bit of this, that, and the other out there about so many different things, I hope you are getting the gist of what I'm saying. Just so you all can have the scriptures, it's also Philippians 2 and 5 that talks about letting your mind, letting his mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. It's Romans 12 and 2 that talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that's the one that starts off that says, be not conformed to this world. And most of us got the be not conformed part to a science because we got so many rules so we don't look like we being like the world. But the second part says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the way you break the conformity is by renewing your mind, not by making a bunch of set of rules. The other scripture is in Ephesians 4 and 23 that says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, and like I said before, the first scripture that we brought out was 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. That scripture said, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove yourselves. So people, look. If you see a brother and sister fall into something that's really, really heinous out there, then, yeah, you need to step up to the plate. And in love, you need to go say something to them. But if you're going to be judging every single thing about somebody because of what they are or are not doing, yes, there are gray areas in the Bible where, you know, people wouldn't want to hear that. But when it comes to these specific topics, if you're going to find yourself trying to finger point at every person for every little bitty thing it is that they do, you missed the mark. You really did. You need to make sure you got yourself together. And just because all of a sudden now you don't want to eat pork or you want your skirt to be 2 inches longer or you don't want to entertain a scary flick or you don't want to listen with something with too much cursing in there, don't mean now all of a sudden you should be so puffed up like it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that you shouldn't have so much knowledge that you puffed up and you ain't got no love for nobody like you better than them because you have changed. So my question I asked at the beginning, I'm going to ask at the end, who made you the judge? That's the same question I asked myself, August, who made you the judge? So if we have more patience with our brothers and sisters and allow God to be the one to do the changing, I think we probably will have a whole lot more people in church. Because the ones that's in church right now, they ain't doing nothing but faking. For real. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you put a bunch of them rules on yourself, what you're doing is really dealing with the fact that you have a fear of failing. So you over-police yourself. And in order to make sure that you are okay, then you put those same expectations on someone else. And so you over-police them. And the more people that you can get to convert with you, then the better job you think you've done. But deep in the back of your mind, in your secret time, you're still battling with those same issues. And if you're battling with it, then what you think your brother and sister in Christ is doing as well. So I don't know if I hit a nerve with anybody tonight. I pray to God that I was very crystal clear because I know that I said a lot and connected a lot of dots. If you have some questions or comments, you already know, press the 1. You know, I'm always wanting to hear how you feel, you know, about what's been said. What are you thinking? Do you want to challenge something that I said because you don't agree? Do you have a scripture or a scenario in the word that, you know, is contrary to what I said? You know, please. You know, I am always opening the door for just that thing. Well, if not, you know, I just pray that what I've presented today, that at the end of the day it promotes a spirit of love, that it promotes more patience, between us and our brothers and sisters. As usual, because some of you don't like your voice to be heard on radio, you can email me at augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's AugustCrenshaw. Or you can find me on Facebook. I'm also just August Crenshaw. And, you know, inbox me, ask me questions, send me information, tag me in posts. I don't care. Hey, some of the questions I may not even know the answer to, but we can figure this stuff out together. So I just want to pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. You dictate who we're going to be and when we will be complete in that thing. I thank you, God, that you remind us that the word says that none of us are perfect and that we won't be perfect until your son returns. God, continue to convict our spirits and minds the way it, according to your will. Let us change and make transitions according to the revelations that are in our hearts, and to not look up or down at anybody who is doing what we're doing, not doing what we're doing, or doing a better job, so to speak, of what we're doing. So I thank you and praise you for being Father in heaven, for giving your Holy Spirit to govern us, and for sending your Son to die on the cross. I send these things out in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't wait to speak to you all next evening at 6 p.m. It's always a pleasure. Good night.